Welcome to the Hour of the Time. I'm Carolyn Nelson, and I want to welcome all of you to Ladies' Night once again. Today, Doreen will repeat last night's broadcast, which was muffled because I had one of the wrong switches up. Doreen, are you ready to start?
Yes. Hi, everyone. If you've been listening all week to the Hour of the Time, then you know it's time to be prepared for anything. We are issuing an urgent wake-up call, and we hope you're paying attention. We need to all re-examine our lives and lifestyles, our values and our priorities. God must come first, then our country and our families. He will strengthen us in times of distress and hardship, and as long as we keep Him first and always do the right thing, we'll be on the right track. And I believe He will bless our efforts. We must form our legal militia groups, and we must try to be prepared for anything. We must teach our children everything we can about survival. Survival outside the system. If you think you're doing your child a great service by educating them within the system, you're fooling yourself. Because the system wants them to join the rank and file, to follow the leader, whoever that may be. So tonight we're going to cover a few areas on family survival, but first I'd like to read you a letter from Marcia. Marcia wrote a letter on survival women and children, some good tips here I'd like to share with you. For you women with babies, keep lots of cloth diapers. Those will come in handy for other things as well as used for diapers. They can be bandages as well. Try to keep at least 2 dozen. Not the pre-folded ones. The flat diapers are better. They wash and dry much more easily. Keep your diaper pins and rubber pants and with your gear. Expectant mothers, nurse your babies. For those monthly times that we have to worry about, there's commercial reusable products available, but they're costly. So try to improvise. Fleece fabric folded to fit, covered with gauze. Pin to panties will work fine and also wash and dry more easily. Now we can hear the yucks and the uggs. So it's time to be realistic, folks. We're talking survival. And also for your comfort, you could also use a little plastic bag wrapper in there to keep any kind of blood from leaking over on your clothing. That's also a good tip to use with any kind of bandage. That way it will protect your clothing from getting bloody. If it'll make you feel more feminine, then buy some pretty patterned fleece. Go to used stores and look for heavy pants with many pockets that were so popular a few years back. The color doesn't matter. You can even dye them in forest colors or dark colors, or tie-dye them for a camo effect. Start stocking up now on chewable vitamins and fever and cold medications. We'll be lucky to have any medics out in the field. Infants, you're going to need some kind of a snuggle baby carrier. You can also tie a sheet and make a rebosa, like some of the women do down in Mexico, and that way you can carry your baby more comfortably and they'll be close to you. Now, these snuggle carriers can be picked up at used stores. And pick up sweaters, blankets, whatever you can think of that you might need. Hats, gloves, anything. Every sleeping bag should be rolled up with a dyed sheet or two. Keep your sheets, your bandages, your clothing, everything dark, either dark green, dark blue, or dark brown. The sheets can be used in hot weather cover or hung up for privacy. You can tie them around you for a sarong in case you need lighter clothing in the summertime. Just use your imagination. You can also tear them up and use them for bandages later on. Another thing that we need to think about are carrying a little bit of plastic containers with tight covers. We all kind of sprinkle when we tinkle, so that's bad for the skin. We need to use the container. It's also bad for your clothing. And train your young children to use that also. They can be carried in net bags that potatoes or onions come in. Just tie it onto a belt. Women, you should learn to weave, knit, crochet now. Stick some large size knitting needles and crochet hooks in your backpack. With a little imagination, reeds, stems, etc., will make summer clothing or extra insulation in winter. Old sweaters, buy them cheap at used stores. They can be made into mittens, socks, and hats now. Use sleeves to make long, warm tube socks. The cuff is sock cuff. Cut the other end rounded and sew it up. They won't unravel. Sweater body is used for mittens. Make a paper pattern tracing around the hand and leave this for a seam allowance. Cut it out, stitch it around. The waistband is a mitten cuff. For a small amount of money, stock up on cold weather articles. If you don't know all 44 sounds in the English language, learn them. If you can't take any other reading material along, you will need to have your Bible for teaching the youngest to read. We must continue to teach our children whatever subjects you're weak in, brush up on them now. And I strongly urge you all to brush up on your survival skills. Study everything you can. Everything you can get your hands on about hypothermia, hot weather conditions, cold weather conditions, everything. Medicinal plants, edible plants, and put it into practice. Along with your Bible, you should pack copies of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Take your children out on camping trips. Teach them how to set up snares and traps. Teach them how to be stealthy in the woods, how to track, how to hunt. But for those of you that live in the city, you can at least, if you have a yard, set up your tent and practice. Set up scenarios. What would I do if? What would you do if there was no electricity? What would you do if you had to evacuate? What would you do? These are things that you need to think about, prepare for. We don't know how much time we have. And judging by what I've seen, we probably don't have much time. Read every survival book you can to your children. They'll love them. Teach them their directions, north, south, east, and west, and how to read and use a compass. Practice outside. Start walking. People, we need to get in shape. Exercise. The kids will outlast you. Gardening is going to be a must. Start growing some sprouts in jars now. The children will love it. Again, use your imagination. Try different types of seeds. Later on, you'll be glad that you did. Back to the ladies, cotton panties. We don't need that fancy silk stuff. We need something that is going to breathe with our skin and wear longer. Bikini panties don't seem to last quite as long, so ladies, don't worry about it. Wear them old neck-high cotton panties. You might not look sexy, but you'll be surviving in style. Along with your seeds, we don't want hybrids, and we need to take the time now to learn how to save seeds from your garden. I'd like to thank Marcia very much for that letter. It was very informative, and I'm glad that she's thinking along the right lines. We'd like to hear from more of you who have good ideas about family survival. We have a few other suggestions to offer you. You need to educate yourself and your family by spending more time reading instructional books and manuals instead of sitting in front of the TV. Get out of doors and put your skills into action. Spend more time outdoors camping. Women, learn to cook outdoors from scratch. Learn what kinds of edible plants grow in your area and how to prepare them. Practice. When all of this hits the fan, we're not going to be able to run down to mega foods. So study Native American cooking and learn how to make do with what is available. A lot of people are concerned about what to do if we're caught outdoors in the winter. I'm going to give you some emergency foods here. I hope you have your pencil and paper ready. Barks from a birch wood tree. The inner bark is eaten, as is, or cooked in a soup. It's good, it tastes sweet, and it can be dried for later use. It can even be packed with you. You can eat the inner bark of the lodgepole and other pines, raw or cooked. Poplars are also good in the sap layer between the wood and the bitter outside bark. Those are also good cooked or raw. Also the same with the slippery elm. During hard times, history shows that flour has been made from dried and powdered bark from these trees. We may need to improvise. Dandelions and watercress can be steamed or boiled and eaten. Mustard is good raw. The leaves are peppery. The younger plants are best. And the whole plant is good cooked with fish and game. The seeds have a good flavor for salad. Seasoning, table mustard can be made in camp by grinding wild mustard seeds between two stones. Then you add enough water to make a paste. Another good source of food that's common to most of us in our areas are cattails. Pick them when they're yellowish green. You can boil them and eat them like corn on the cob. You can dig the roots. The smaller tubers are the best. You can boil them and use them as a potato substitute. The tender white stems taste like asparagus. You would dig them, about a foot to a foot and a half from the base, and then strip off the green part of the plant, cut the white stem up, and boil it. And it's another good survival food. Mullein is something that grows in our area, and it can be boiled. And also the flower part can be eaten like corn on the cob. It also has many medicinal purposes. You can grind the cattails and the dried mullein. When the cattails are brown and the mullein is darker, You can grind it into a flour and substitute it for cornmeal, for your cornbread or tortillas. Wild rose hips are good medicine. They're 6 to 24 times richer in vitamin C than orange juice. They're good for preventing scurvy. Dried and powdered with milk, you can mix them with milk or water for a hot or a cold drink. They're good in soups, cereals, or by themselves. They're good to keep in your pocket to be snacked on like raisins. If you wish to do that, you need to cut them in half, remove the central core of the seeds, dry the remaining shell like skin, and pulp quickly in a cooled Dutch oven. They can also be made into syrup and rosehip butter. Pinion nuts are another very good source of protein and fat. They're an essential winter food. I've heard stories from different Native Americans that have told me that when the settlers came to different regions, many of them starved through the winters because they didn't have an adequate food storage. But the Native Americans had gathered pinion nuts and stored them up and, in many cases, turned them into a rich, smoke-flavored soup that's very good. All you have to do is shell them, pulverize them, put them into boiling water for a while. And if you want to add jerky for flavoring, it's very good. You can also eat the pinion nuts raw or roasted. They're very good and a good source of protein. Another good medicine is pine sap. If you need a good antiseptic and you don't have anything in your medicine gear, pine sap, when it's milky and soft, kind of a milky white and soft, is excellent for cuts, burns, and wounds. You just bandage it with gauze and it will absorb into your skin. If you're out and you have a headache and you're around wet red willows, snip off a little branch and chew on that. It'll get rid of your headache. That's what aspirin comes from. We need to start getting with our militia groups. We need to get our kids involved as well. One of the things us ladies need to do is start having dehydrating parties. If you can't afford to buy singly a dehydrator, then go in together as a group and purchase one and share it. Get together with your group. Buy your food in bulk. It'll give you an opportunity to talk about your plans. The same with a vacuum seal. I know these items are expensive. You might not be able to go out and just purchase them on your own. So try to get your group together, and if everybody can chip in $20 or so, then it'll help out, and it's a valuable thing to have. We need to start storing up our food. Pasta needs to be stored in 1 to 2 inches of salt on the bottom, and you can use 4 or 5 bay leaf sprigs on the bottom and the top of your pastas. If you don't have bay leaves, use mint. It's also just as good. Rice can be stored with bay leaves on the top. You don't have to put salt in it. The bay leaves is enough. Store your water in liter soda bottles. It's easy to carry. It can fit in the pockets of your camo jackets. Keep your water purification tablets in your pockets in case you need them. Or you can also use chlorine bleach. 1 to 2 drops is enough. Go to your thrift stores and get your first aid books. Health books are fine. Any kind of medicinal books. Take CPR classes. practice first aid at home, save all of your old towels and sheets, wash them and dye them. We don't want to be using anything white or bright out there in the field. We need dark green and navy blue, so dye them with your Ritz dye, strip them into bandages and compresses, put them into plastic Ziploc baggies, and store them with your first aid gear. Save your bread wrappers for bandages and foot protection to keep the blood from wounds from soaking through bandages and onto clothing. Put a plastic bag around it, and then you can wrap over that to keep it on tight, but not too tight. Every time you go to the store, pick up extra Band-Aids, Kotex for compresses, duct tape. Super glue is fine for small cuts, minor cuts. Get your rubbing alcohol, your peroxide, plenty of Tylenol, chapstick, toilet paper, whatever you think you might need. Put it on your list and stock up now. We also had another letter written into us about how important it is to have plenty of calcium. Calcium is good for calming nerves. We need to make sure our children have an adequate calcium supply, and we will have more documentation on that a little later. So keep your Tums with you or whatever calcium you choose. Also powdered milk. With your children, you need to start playing quiet games. Games like still as a rabbit, quiet as a mouse. Practice hiding under your polar shield survival blankets. Make it fun. Your kids will enjoy it. And every time that you play this game, extend the time that you play it a little bit longer. They'll get used to it. If you try to make them see how urgent it is, and if you show them that you're scared, they're going to pick up on it. Babies will cry. Kids will get nervous. Try to make it as fun as you can. Try to reassure them as much as you can. Make sure you have pacifiers. If you have young children, if you have older children, a nice diversion is playing cards when things aren't quite so hectic. We need to get together with our groups and have reloading parties. While you fellas are making bullets, then us ladies and us older kids can polish the residue off the bullets and box them, put them into mags, and get them ready for mag pouches. A friend of mine said to me the other day, when I was expressing to her how many people called in and said, "What are we going to do with our kids?" And she had some very good advice I'd like to share with you. She said, "We're going to teach our youngins to be still and quiet, and we're going to teach our older ones to be sharpshooters and how to survive." I think that's a priority. Ladies, we need to be active in our militia. If you're afraid of guns, don't be. Learn gun safety and teach your children too when they're at the right age. Don't be afraid. Shoot with your husbands. Have competition shoots. Rehearse scenarios. Be able to fire a weapon well in any situation, in any position. We need to think about it and rehearse. We prefer NATO rounds. For you ladies out there that are considering a pistol, we recommend 45 millimeter or 9 millimeter, which has less recoil. I prefer myself the 9 millimeter. I have a Beretta 92F, has 16 rounds, and it's reliable. And I have the triple dot Trijicon sights. It's easy to see in the daytime or the night because they glow in the dark. You want to get one that fits you, ladies. Have your husbands go with you when you're picking one out. Make sure that you're familiar with it. Make sure that you shoot enough to feel confident and safe with your weapon. We also need to set up scenarios to keep our creativity flowing and to keep using our imagination. Set up scenarios and practice shoots. With your rifles, you need to be able to shoot at 300 yards plus. For that, we prefer 223 or 7.62 by 39. Practice laying down. Practice behind rocks, standing, kneeling, crouching, perhaps even around an object, single-armed, if we have to. Practice your scenarios. Is your gear ready in an emergency situation? Practice your evacuation scenarios. Do you have a place to go? Is everything ready? There's no time for last-minute gathering and packing. Time yourself. Is there a full tank of gas in your car? Do you have maps? What if the roads are blocked? What if communications are jammed? Talk these things over and plan with your group. Study books on outdoor survival, maps on your area, how to make shelters, study food preservation, edible and medicinal plants, and do nature hikes with your family. Make a list of your gear and supplies. Pack and get the kids involved. Take them for walks. Encourage them to use their backpack when you walk. You should also be practicing with a little bit more weight added each time you go out. When we set up our base camp, we will need to keep our camp clean and inconspicuous. We need to pick up everything so that there's no trash. We don't want to leave any signs. Police our area. Keep someone on the watch all the time. Ladies, we're going to have to be at the base camp defending it and our children. We need to be proficient with a firearm. Our lives, the lives of our loved ones, the lives of our children are going to depend on us. When you leave, bury your fire. Bury it deeply. Practice setting up your base camp. Delegate jobs. For different children, they can go out and gather wood. Delegate chores. Whatever needs to be done, make sure everybody has a job and they know what their job is and that they do it well. Keep your clothing and your supplies mended. Keep your sewing kits in your gear. I would advise that you all go down to Tandy Leather, get a spool of artificial sinew and some glover's needles. They have a chisel point. You can sew through leather. You can sew through heavy canvas. And the artificial sinew is like heavy wax thread. Keep it in your gear.
Oh, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, through the ocean, white with foam. God bless America,
Preparedness for survival means being ready today. If you had your pause button on and you didn't take this program, please don't call me. Please call your militia backup and ask them for a copy of the tape. You must have your militia ready to back you up in all conditions. It means being ready today, knowing the area where you live, the weather, and your needs. Swiss America Training at Swiss America Trading can help. Call our representative, Gene Miller, tonight and leave your number. He'll call you back and he'll give you information that you need for protecting your family. We talked about the weather. In a dry climate such as St. John's, you need extra water intake in summer, even if you do not feel thirsty or see and feel perspiration on your forehead. Newcomers to the area may not realize the signs of dehydration. You need to drink plenty of water. You may not recognize the signs, yet the coming paper money problems are there, and you need to call Gene Miller at 1-800-BUY-COIN and let him tell you how to prepare. For this reason, you need to listen to others who know a little more. Call Gene Miller for information, then decide. Don't let invisible, unfamiliar conditions bring disaster to your family. For some of you out there, the conditions that we are talking about may appear invisible, but believe us, we see them and we are warning you. We are bringing you a message. Doreen and I, William Cooper, and all of our friends here, Gene Miller included. Today, a friend preparing for coming times mentioned foods in cans such as tuna fish, which some people don't like, but some of us do, and tuna fish in water will freeze in winter. I never thought about it, but I'm getting started thinking about these things. Tuna in oil will hold up in cans unless the cold temperature drops way below zero, when the cans will pop open and you will lose everything. You need to call Gene Miller because you could lose all of your paper money and your assets if you don't reinvest wisely. Call him and ask for the free newsletter, ask for other papers that he has, and talk to him more than once. Call once a week for 2 or 3 weeks and make sure that you've learned everything you can from him. Even though we are too busy, call Swiss America Trading, 1-800-BUY-COIN, and let Gene Miller explain various conditions and solutions to protecting your assets by conversion to gold or silver from paper money. You must be prepared. We are talking about survival of our families and the children who will carry on and bring freedom back to America, restore our Constitution. I'm going to let Doreen move along into the second part of the program.
Yes, my good friend Tim just brought me this straw. It's an AccuFilter, and this is a very interesting device. You should all have several with you. It's the most convenient and affordable way to provide an individual, great-tasting drinking water up to 80 days. It purifies up to 40 gallons of water whenever you're out in survival situations or even hunting, camping, backpacking. For disaster relief, you need to have this in your pack. It's laboratory tested and proven effective against cholera, hepatitis A, giardia, and other bacteria and viruses. And for more information on the AccuFilter, the straw, please contact Surplus and Stuff. Their number is 602-337-2975. 602-337-2975. Another thing he brought me here is Potable Aqua. It's emergency drinking water germicidal tablets. It makes even questionable water safe to drink. And it is proven effective against giardia. This one here, if you don't open your bottle, the sealed bottle can remain effective for up to 4 years. It prevents stomach and intestinal disorders caused by drinking unsuitable water. It's iodine-based compound, no chlorine, no unpleasant taste. One tablet makes 1 quart of water suitable to drink, and you use 2 tablets if giardia is suspected. It's easy to use. There's a uniform dosage per tablet, no guesswork. And it is a must for first aid and survival kits. In one of these bottles, you get 50 tablets. So please call Surplus and Stuff, order your water tablets, make sure that you have them in your survival gear. One of the things that we want to remember is that people have survived out in the wilderness for centuries. They have made do with what is available. We don't want our modern technology and our lack of outdoor survival skills to be our downfall. So prepare yourselves, study up, and practice. Remember the Donner Party. We don't want to end up like them. Nature is God's medicine cabinet and grocery store. If you know what you're doing out there, you can survive. We need to study up on hypothermia, how to protect ourselves in severe weather, whether it's heat or cold. There are several good books at Surplus and Stuff that are available through the catalog. Books on survival, such as FM21-76, map reading and land navigation, Soldier's Handbook for Individual Operation and Survival in Cold Weather Areas, the Alice Pack book, and Hot Weather Clothing and Equipment. We need to study up on all these areas and make sure we're knowledgeable. Go to your thrift stores and your used bookstores and look for these books, How to Stay Alive in the Woods. Free for the Eating and Wilderness Cookery, all three by Bradford Angier, A-N-G-I-E-R. These are very good books and I recommend them to everyone. They'll teach you about survival eating, what herbs you can eat, what plants, how to prepare them. Another good book is the Bear Tribe's Self-Reliance book. Now, you might not agree with everything in this book, but it does have some good tips. One of the especially good tips is how to tell if your roadkill meat is suitable to eat. We don't know what times we're going to be heading into. But many of us know that there are going to be desperate times and difficult times, and we need to be prepared for the worst. I'm not too proud to tell you all that I've had roadkill elk, and it wasn't half bad, and I was very grateful to have it that winter. A family of seven and ourselves halved each a hind haunch, and that haunch lasted us through the winter. And it was a tough winter, but we felt very blessed, and it was very good meat. Something else that you might not consider eating, but you have to in survival situations, depending on your area, you can eat porcupines. I've had those too, and they're pretty good, folks. I advise you, though, to boil them good for at least an hour first, and when you're skinning them, do it very carefully. If you boil them for the first hour, it'll tenderize the meat, and then you can just quarter it, put it into your Dutch oven with your potatoes and carrots or your cattail tubers and shoots, whatever, and cook it for about an hour, and it's quite good, a lot like turkey. Another good one for you desert dwellers, and even for some of us folks in the mountains, is rattlesnake meat. I know a lot of you are probably turning your noses up at that one, but it is not bad at all. And we had some friends over one night for dinner, and the husband told us, please don't tell my wife what you've got here. So we didn't. And she went for her first helping and heaped her plate, went for her second helping. By her third helping, we were all starting to snicker a bit. And she says, Kenny, what are we eating here? And we all kind of lost control at that moment. And he told her we were eating rattlesnake green chili. And she says, well, at least I know I can eat it through the tribulation. When you cook your rattlesnake, a lot of people prefer to fry it. Personally, I don't care for it fried. I'd rather steam mine. You cut a hand's length from the neck back and from the end of the tail forward, and you only eat the meat that is in between. Cut the sections into about maybe 4 to 6 inch sections, wrap them in aluminum foil, and boil them for about a half an hour. When you unwrap them out of the aluminum foil, you can flake the meat off with a fork, and it tastes just like string chicken. It's very good. You might be surprised. The other thing that you need to practice is making jerky, pemmican. If you have an opportunity to try tanning hides, then try it. Get the experience. We need to listen to the older folks that have lived through the Depression. Listen to their tips on food storage and gardening. Listen to what they did before they had electricity. And don't think the world has ended just because you don't have indoor plumbing, electricity, and all the comforts of a modern society. No, don't worry about those things, because we need to be protecting our freedoms, our Constitution, and our Bill of Rights. And we need to make sure that we survive and our children survive. We need to teach our children in every respect, every chance we have, every moment we have, everything that we can. I know some of you have your children in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, and you think that your children are safe there and that they're learning a lot. Well, you might be surprised at what they're learning. You might even be dismayed at what they're learning. But if a scout teacher can teach them survival skills, I say that you can do it even better. And they are your responsibility. And you need to take that responsibility of your children and teach them the things that they need to learn. I'd like to encourage all of you that do have children in Scouts to get in touch with your Scout Council and ask them about their policy on hiring homosexuals. Brenda Mayland was fired because she believed that the parents had the right to know that homosexuals and lesbians were taking their children out on overnight camps, weekend camps, and she was forbidden to inform the parents of this because it violates the council's policy. She was given a confidential memorandum to be signed, and if she didn't sign it, then she would be terminated. And she was. So people, we need to make sure we know what our children are learning, and we need to take the lead. I have a poem here from a good friend I'd like to read. It's called A Patriot's Prayer. Father in heaven, forgive us from falling away from your teachings because of greed and riches. Help us again as true Christians to reaffirm our faith in God. And with the help of your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and is my true Savior, help us again restore our Bill of Rights and our Constitution to our once great nation. And again, voice our Declaration of Independence against the New World Order. Help us in the coming fight to destroy the secret societies and mystery schools of Babylon, so we can once again live free and in peace as Christians and for the love of my God Almighty. Amen. For any of you that are thinking about homeschooling, I'm a little bit choked up here. You need to get in touch with Homeschool Legal Defense. Please call them for your free information pack, 703-338-5600. They will send you an information pack with your state law on compulsory attendance and other information on support groups in your area. And please, I urge you all to get copies of SR 70 and HR 15 on the UN Rights of the Child. Write your senator and voice your opinions now. We don't have much time, and if this passes, we'll lose our children, people. We better start really thinking about what's at stake. This has been your wake-up call all week, and we hope that you're listening. If you have any questions or you need information, please call Tim at Surplus and Stuff, 602-337-2975, 602-337-2975. We want to thank you all for writing in with your good letters, your good thoughts. It's encouraging to know how many people we have out there that are thinking along the right lines, that are acting upon things in the right way, that are researching information out, and we appreciate it. I'd also like to thank all the young people that were here last weekend. They did a beautiful job helping out at the center, and I was very touched by each one of them. It's very good to know that there's young people out there that are thinking about the important matters, the issues that are at stake, and that they're doing something about it. They're not just concerned about daily trivia. They're trying to reach other people, and we all should be concerned with reaching as many people as we possibly can with the information. If you can't afford the treason papers, try to go in with them with your group. I urge you all, if we need to know our laws, our rights, our case, everything, only then will we be able to stand. I also urge you all, especially those of you that listened to last night's show, get your copy of Vultures in Eagle's Clothing. Send $43 postpaid to CAGI, and we'll have that address at the end of the show. For any of you that are thinking about homeschooling, the first step is to get your state law on compulsory attendance. Step two is to file an affidavit of intent with your county supervisor. Step three is to get a release form. And I would advise you also to get copies of all your children's file, all the information that's in their file. There's a lot of things going on right now. A lot of us that are aware see things changing rapidly around us. Some of you might think that we're paranoid. I say no, we're informed. Again, organize your militias. Study all that you can. Make a list of your gear. Try to be as prepared as you can. Keep your heat packs in your gear for cold weather emergencies. Some of you might know a little bit about the Donner Party. When they decided to go up through the Sierra Nevadas, they were warned before not to go, to wait. They weren't prepared. But they wanted to go anyways, and so they did. Not being prepared for the hard winter ahead of them, many of them ran out of food and resorted to cannibalism. Those that did, most of them went crazy. There were a few that survived, not because they turned to cannibalism, but because they prayed very much for God's help. They ate the bark from trees. They boiled leather. They gnawed on whatever they could gnaw on that they knew in their conscience was right. They did not lose their minds. They did not lose their lives. And I think there's a valuable lesson in that story. We need to be prepared. And above all, we need to be mindful of our Creator and not to lose faith, no matter what happens, no matter what comes in our future. We must have faith in our Creator. Another thing that we need to do is to study up on the cultures that came before us. We're kind of like the second generation of American Indians, and the UN armies are kind of like the second coming of the same damn cavalry. So we better put our minds, like they did, on survival, on fighting, and do the best that we can during the days that lie ahead. Doreen, one other suggestion, if we don't have electricity, is to take with you screening. Dry your pepper, tomato, celery leaves over a longer period of time without electricity. A friend of mine in Michigan showed me how to do that, and she was using a sweater screen. Have your children come up with any ideas in the last couple of weeks?
Well, they've been awfully busy. But Nathan is always full of bright ideas, and he's always trying to encourage us and help us think about other things. He also has his gear ready, and he's prepared, and his mind's on the right things for his age. So I'm quite pleased with him. And a lot of times he'll remind me of things that I need to think about that maybe I neglected to.
We need to depend on each other, don't we?
That's right. And we're going to have to support one another in these difficult times. We're going to have to encourage each other and strengthen each other.
I think now we'll say goodnight. Good night, Doreen, and everyone out there.
Good night, Carolyn, and God bless you all.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life, and I had to start again, with just my children and my wife, thank my lucky star to be living here today. But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know my dream. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say. There ain't no doubt I love this place.